All right. Welcome to That's Good Sports Podcasting Company Network. Will Keys, co-host. Brandon Perna, co-host. Those are the guys doing this podcast. If you're on YouTube watching this on my second channel, consider yourself lucky because I can't even upload to my main channel right now because YouTube is trying to destroy me, Will.
Yeah, big problem. Part of being a person who uploads videos on YouTube for money is actually being able to upload the videos on YouTube.
Really important part, part of that equation is being to make videos.
What can we tell the people to do? To harass YouTube, to sign a petition? How do we mobilize the troops here?
I think they got to reach out to some company, not YouTube. Like,
do we get Daily Motion on this? Vimeo?
Yeah. Just get me to a place that's going to pay me enough money to do a show where then I can also pay Will to help me continue to write said show. And then it just becomes the best football comedy show that's ever existed.
Well, here's the thing. HBO's got a vacancy on Sunday nights now, so.
Yeah, I could fill that. I could fill that Game of Thrones. Well, with a half hour. I can't do a full hour.
You can't do a full hour?
No. No. Certainly not 80 minutes.
Here's what we do. We do a half an hour, the actual show, and then the other half hour, first we get like the catch-up montage, like previously on That's Good Sports.
Right.
And that lasts like 10 minutes.
Cool.
And then we have like a coming up next week. Except it's all made up because we don't know what the news is going to be.
Yeah, because we're not psychic.
And then I'm trying to do the math here. The last 10 minutes is like an inside the episode where we're talking about what just happened, like Benioff and Weiss.
Right. They're doing that for all HBO shows now. Like, they've been doing it after the Barry episodes with Bill Hader and
Henry Winkler.
No. The co-creator. Oh,
yeah,
Alec Berg.
Who
did a bunch of Seinfeld and all that other shit. Anyway, basically, I'm going back to the YouTube thing. I'm going back to it because usually Will and I record these shows on Wednesday, and then sometimes I'll get them up Wednesday night, sometimes Thursday morning. But I was too emotionally distraught to even try to record yesterday because YouTube, and I don't even know for sure, like I'm still waiting for creator support and somebody to tell me why a bunch of my old videos got removed, and then YouTube handed me community copyright strikes saying I violated YouTube's community guidelines. I got an email from YouTube that said I violated them by promoting like unregulated goods or regulated goods, which could have been like alcohol or all this other stuff, which wasn't true. But in that, they mention like online casinos. And the only common theme
currently
I found
yeah.
in the videos that all got flagged were I had a link to FanDuel where you could sign up to play FanDuel with my promo code, which I think I only mentioned in one episode at the very end. I said something about, you know, go check out FanDuel. And the rest, like, I just auto had that link going in. And this was 2014, 2015. I made $0 from that shit because nobody signed up because nobody even knew it was fucking there. But I think YouTube implemented new policies about companies like FanDuel, which retroactively screwed me without warning or without saying, hey, we need you to take any of these links down from your videos. You have, you know, a week to do it, 24 hours to do it. I don't care. I would have taken the links out. I don't work with FanDuel. They're not a partner. You know what I mean? And that's like, I follow the rules of advertising on YouTube. You got to say it's an ad. You got to click like a box, which I didn't know. And now I do. And like all that shit. So like I got blindsided by this thing. And what's scary is when you get two strikes, you're a strike away from having your channel shut down.
Yeah, much like baseball. Yeah.
That's yeah. That second strike also won't let me upload videos right now to my main channel. So yeah, I freaked out because response time from YouTube was about 9 hours in between emails. And they don't put you in contact with somebody. I tried to use the chat feature on YouTube and I would not get a chat box. And then I would get an email like 30 minutes later saying, oh, our chat didn't work. What can I help you with? So I tell them, they're like, okay, let me get back to you. Send me some links. Then I do. And then they're like, oh, somebody else is already working on this. Wait for them to respond. And it's just like a mess. Well, it is a mess.
Yeah. And this has been happening to a lot of people, right?
Apparently. That's what I gathered on Twitter. And cool. Disproportionately looks like it is affecting sports channels. Maybe
because of the sports betting.
Worked with DraftKings or FanDuel or whatever. And the funny thing is, like, FanDuel has a YouTube channel. DraftKings has a YouTube channel. I found a FanDuel ad on their channel with links to sign up at FanDuel. That's not flagged. And again, I haven't even, like, they haven't even confirmed to me that this is the issue. It could be something else that I don't know about. They could just be trying to censor me in these videos. I doubt that's what it is, because community guideline violations are for like serious shit, like promoting violence, telling people to do violent things, promoting like unhealthy things, like glamorizing like anorexia or like shit like I have never
we know you do
done. Yeah, exactly. So like I would be very curious if they're like, no, you violated the guidelines by saying fuck or dick or something. But so I'm just in limbo because I still can't upload there. So at least we're going to do this podcast. Anyway, yeah. I just thought I had to get all that off my chest because it has been weighing on me, Will.
Yeah, right. So if you're listening and you're near YouTube headquarters, I have no idea where that is. I don't even know if they do have a headquarters. But please go outside and picket and camp picket out times. And do something about it. Take action. Like I said, I have no idea if there is a physical headquarters, but if there is, I want people.
I think there are many, many headquarters.
Probably.
That's the thing. Like, I think what they did was they like made a new algorithm to search out like these links and just started auto flagging them. And then you can't do anything about it as a creator. It's insane. Like, for somebody who's uploaded over 1,000 videos to that channel, been working on YouTube for like the last 6 years, like in a second to realize like the platform you work on could be taken away. It's like if you were a business owner,
right?
Every day, your landlord could just go in and take your building where you make pizzas away from you. Like, you don't get a contract with YouTube or a lease or any of that crap. Anyway, we're going to talk about football.
That's what we're here to do. The big news this week was Chris Harris wasn't extended, but he got a raise for 2019. So John Elway is basically paying him an extra $3.5 million this season, which I think we both agree that he deserves. A lot of people were kind of bashing this move to say, giving a player extra money for 1 year and not adding years onto their contract is not – wise, but I disagree on the basis that it creates a little bit of goodwill going into contract talks next year. And also, Chris Harris has been very, very underpaid for most of his career.
Yeah, it's I totally agree. I don't see how this hurts the Broncos.
No, they're not signing Gerald McCoy anyway. It's not like
right.
There's this guy waiting to be signed.
Yeah, it's not like they dipped into cap space that hurt him from signing like that last guy who was going to put him over the hump, because they've got many humps to overcome.
Yeah.
And some people are like, well, this means any player in his last year of his contract can just ask for more money.
You can ask.
Yeah, any player could have done that at any time they wanted. I think what this does show is like at least a little bit of John Elway is going to – look at players individually and how they've contributed to the team. And Elway's probably not going to be there much longer anyway. So Like, in 2 years, you know, when his contract's done, if he doesn't come back, the next player does it. The next regime is just like, well, that was Elway. We're not doing that shit. We're not going to give you more money in your last year of contract. Different guy. So, like, I think you're right. I don't think Chris Harris is going to be back. I feel like the thing nobody's really talking about is it doesn't seem like he wanted to extend his contract with the Broncos. And I think Harris is pretty weary about the how successful this team will be moving forward, mostly because of, like, all of the problems they've had on the offense. And then over the last couple of years, like, the issues with the coaching on the defense. And I think most of the players are going to be very happy with the way things are done on the defensive side of the ball. But as a player who is getting older, like Chris Harris, I think he's going to want to be somewhere where he has a legitimate chance to win. And unless he feels like that with the Broncos after this season, I don't know if he's coming back.
That's true. But at the same time, I would put it like, I don't know, just to put a number on it, I'd say 70-30. He doesn't come back, but so much can change in a year. And if they go like, even if they go like 9-7 and 10-6, that could flip completely.
Oh, I totally agree. If they're good, then I think there's a chance he comes back because staying in the same city where you live, like he has a family, I think he has three daughters, like moving your family, like doing all that shit factors in. If you can stay where you're at because you feel good about the team, and you're going to get paid. That's the other thing. The Broncos are going to have to pay him. Like he said, he wants to be the highest paid corner. So
that's
the Broncos will have more cap space moving forward, but I have no idea what they're going to be willing to pay, like to keep Chris Harris. So I'm just happy that he will be here this year because I was excited about the Broncos secondary again with the additions they made. But the core, the key piece there is Chris Harris to make all of that work.
Right. Now,
it's they have a lot of options because there's like 50 safeties on the roster. So I think the defense should be fun to watch again.
Yeah, you've got a lot of versatile guys like Kareem Jackson and Chris Harris who can play. Jackson can obviously play corner and safety, and then Chris Harris you can move pretty much wherever. I wouldn't be surprised if like later in his career he adds a couple years just playing safety. Just because I think he's got such good instincts and he's so good in zone that he could make it work. But, it's a defense that can do a lot of different things and throw a lot of different looks at the offense, which is a good thing.
Well, and what Fangio's done in the past is, like, he takes pressure off of his corners by asking that safety or that linebacker to basically cover at, like, that. Like, those guys have to be able to cover like corners. So,
yeah.
And that's why he's been able to disguise some of his zone defenses and coverages so well is because you don't know who's covering on certain plays. And if you've got the versatility with your linebackers and safeties, linebacker to be seen, like, I don't know who that's going to be for the Broncos, but if they use guys like Sua Cravens as a safety linebacker or Will Parks, obviously, as his role's increased over the last few years, like, it should be the Broncos defense – like, all of that should fit well. And maybe, like, Chris Harris, seeing that, could play with the Broncos longer than he could somewhere else if the scheme's there and if he could at some point transition to safety, which I don't think he's close to having to do that either. Like, everybody's talking about his age, but he hasn't shown, like, a drop in his play at all. And he suffered an unfortunate bone fracture last year in his leg, which – he healed from pretty quickly and would have played in the playoffs had that even been an option for the Broncos. So, like, I'm not worried about his health. He's been injured basically twice his whole career, and he's still playing really good football. And a broken bone is, like, it's not one of those injuries that, like an Achilles or something, that you can have concern of it slowing you down physically, athletically.
Right, yeah. Chris Harris tore his ACL in the playoffs back in 2013. And then came back and probably at his best year in 2014 and didn't allow a touchdown for like a year and a half after tearing his ACL.
He's never allowed a touchdown as far as I'm concerned.
No, no. It's always been someone else's fault.
Someone else's fault.
Yeah. Probably TJ Ward. That guy couldn't cover.
Probably. Yeah. TJ Ward was always the guy who got all the shit. Whenever a tight end would score on the Broncos when the defense was so good, it was like,
Dude. Yeah, but everyone was also like, oh, but we need TJ Ward to cover Gronk, but also he can't cover.
Right. No, we just need TJ Ward to blow out Gronk's knee like he did with the Browns.
Yeah, that too. All right, so Chris Harris staying put for 2019. Other big news with our team, Steve Antonopoulos, the trainer, the Greek.
The Greek.
He is going to present the owner, Pat Bowlen, at his Hall of Fame ceremony, induction, whatever you want to call it, in August. He's only the second trainer to present someone at Canton. So
yeah, just the first being Megan. Oh, was nice. I waiting for that, Will.
Nice. Okay.
Get him to the Greek.
Another good reference. Very good. I lost everything where we're at.
Steve Antonopoulos has been with the Broncos for like 100 years.
Yeah, he's basically the only person that's been there is like through every regime, every, you know, Bowlen's been there since 84. I don't know how long the Greek's been there, but they're basically the two constants
right
on this team. And so I guess it makes sense in that regard. I think the obvious choice would be John Elway, but I kind of like this better.
Yeah, John Elway gets to talk all the time.
Yeah.
Greek's just one of those figures with the Broncos who's been around so long. It's weird to just like know who that guy is coming out on the field when a player gets hurt. Like, oh yeah, Steve Antonopoulos. Like, how many fan bases know that guy for their team?
Probably not many.
And I don't even, like, here's the thing that's funny. It's like, I don't even know if Antonopoulos is good at his job anymore. Like, he's been there so long, and, like, part of me thinks that he's old and maybe not the – and this is just, like, this is based on no information. But to me, it's just like, shouldn't they have, like, somebody who's maybe more up to speed with the new ways of healing? And, like, I just feel like he's the kind of guy who sees a guy get hurt and just be like, yeah, put some dirt on it, get back out there. And
yeah, rub a stick of butter on it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's him at all, but that's just like my impression because he's been around so long.
It's like that the Giants had a trainer who was on their staff from like 1948 to 2007. I was like, it's like, dude, you're pioneering early surgery.
That's insane. Like, hey, how do I heal from this pectoral injury? I would get on the weight bench and just grind through it. Make it stronger that way.
It's like, hey, dude, do you have a PhD? No, but I served as a medic in World War II. Perhaps that will work.
Get me more morphine on the field. Bags of morphine for everyone.
Oh, we learned that actually kills you, so I don't care.
1948, Jesus yeah. Lord.
Just rub a big stick of butter on it. It'll yeah. feel better. Bite down on this bullet. We got to amputate.
Oh, man. Could you?
Anyway, Pat Bowlen going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the Broncos season starts August 1st.
Preseason, it does.
Hall of Fame game, super early.
Nice, for once.
So I guess, yeah, because the Broncos will have 5 preseason games, which for me, I just go, oh, that's more work in the summer.
Yeah.
But probably actually good for Vic Fangio, like a new head coach, to get just a little bit extra practice and figuring out how he's going to coach during the game. Probably a good year for the Broncos to have that.
It's also good for, like, the guys on the roster bubble.
Yeah, no, that's true.
There's not that many, but, like, with increased practice squad rosters, it really helps to get a game, especially one where the starters aren't going to play.
And even like Drew Locke, like he could get a ton of work in the preseason.
He'll probably start, right?
I would imagine.
Him or Hogan. Fangio's going out of his way to praise Kevin Hogan, which was a little surprising, but hey, it makes sense. He's been in the league for like 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah, he should look a lot better than Drew Locke.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so what do we got from the NFL, Will?
Okay. So this is big news. You already talked about it before.
YouTube tried to shut me the fuck down.
Yeah, the hurricane of YouTube's wrath took over your channel. But the Raiders signed an offensive lineman who hasn't played since 2017. Oh, who is that, you might ask? Well, it's Richie Incognito, who hasn't played in a couple years for a reason. Reason, he's an insane person.
Yeah, and we mean that affectionately because
not really. Not really.
Richie Incognito probably, from what it appears, has very serious mental problems.
Yes.
It seems like Richie Incognito was always sort of like just a bad dude, like a bad shitty person.
Yeah.
Who on top of that has like mental health problems. Like you can be like a nice person and have issues and
correct.
Man, he does not seem like a nice person on top of all that other shit. And I saw today on Twitter that
yeah,
during his last like, I don't know, couple months in Buffalo, like Buffalo as an organization put extra security at their facility basically in case Richie Incognito did something.
Jesus, like the city of Buffalo must have been on watch with Chad Kelly and Richie Incognito roaming the streets for a couple of years.
Yeah, if you're the Buffalo Bills,
everything,
and you're worried about a dude, what does that say about that dude? Like, I feel like Buffalo's pretty laid back. Like, fuck it, man, we're the Bills. We're going to get through this. We got the crazy fans. Like, I don't know. To be like, whoa, 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 guys.
Yeah, Chad Kelly, Richie Incognito, O.J. Simpson. What does Buffalo do to a person is my question.
What does Buffalo – that? I mean, we'll have to address that. The entire
movie Buffalo 66.
Oh, yeah. That's a fucked up movie.
It speaks volumes about the city of Buffalo. Apologies if you're from Buffalo. It seems like a nice place.
Yeah, I would like to hang out in Buffalo for a while just to see.
For a little bit.
Here's a question for you, Will.
Okay.
Who actually deserves to be in jail? Richie Incognito or Aunt Becky?
All right, so we got Aunt Becky looking at 40 years. Seems reasonable.
For bribing, was it Harvard? For paying?
I think it was USC.
Stanford? Or oh, yeah. Yeah, you. Man, if you can't get into
pick an Ivy League school, she's got a USC.
Yeah, if you can't get into USC, like just
yeah,
do your community college time.
Exactly. Oh yeah, you have to go to. Oh, I'm sorry, I have to go to Santa Barbara City College for 2 years. What a travesty. Basically, do the same thing. She wasn't going to class anyway. Well, no, 40 years seems like too much. Richie Incognito, 0 years. Basically, you know, turned Jonathan Martin into a shell of himself.
And I mean, he threatened to kill people at a funeral home while he had guns in his car. Like, that is, I don't know.
That's one strike from YouTube for that.
Yeah.
Don't do that again or else.
And it's like, it is so cliche too. Like the reason he's getting a 50th chance is because he's pretty damn good at football.
Also, it's the Raiders giving him the chance.
Yeah, which is obviously perfect. He is good at football, so they will tolerate.
Yeah.
Literally, they'll tolerate insanity.
Right. I like Mike Mayock's justification, too. It's like you can't have all Boy Scouts on your team.
We're looking for high-character guys, and we're also looking for not Boy Scouts.
Yeah. It's like, well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you don't have any Boy Scouts, at least current Boy Scouts on your team. Derek Carr, probably a long time ago, strikes me as a Boy Scout.
Yeah. He's got Eagle Scout potential.
Yeah, before he discovered the cure and started wearing eyeliner. At age 15.
I think he's a little young to have discovered the cure.
Cure for what?
It would have been he discovered like Good Charlotte or something.
Yeah, probably. My Chemical Romance seems.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like better than Good Charlotte, but same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, just, you know, any 2000s emo rock,
right? I think
will work there. Yeah, okay. You can't have all Boy Scouts. So let's sign Antonio Brown. You don't get a badge for throwing furniture out of your window and almost hitting a toddler.
No.
But I'm pretty sure they don't teach you that in the Boy Scouts. Vontaze Burfict.
Let's give Vontaze Burfict this little bit of credit.
Okay.
He has had less off-field issues than Antonio Brown and Richie Incognito. At least Burfict saves his crazy shit on the field.
Like, yeah, I mean, by all accounts, he's like a really good person off the field, which is very strange. But
yeah, because like I don't think he's been like arrested or done anything crazy off the field. Like everything's just been him trying to murder dudes a little bit after the whistle, or maybe hitting them illegally during the whistle.
Which, like, you kind of have to admire that. Like, if he's got, like, all this pent-up aggression, maybe, like, he just lets it loose within the lines. Maybe not, you know, between the whistles, but definitely
between the lines.
Yeah.
Not between the whistles, but between the lines. Like, that's a compromise from him, really.
I can't wait until I just want Hard Knocks with the Raiders. I mean, I'm not the first person to say it. I
think everybody wants it
at this point.
Jay Gruden said they should do the Raiders yesterday.
I want just a nice little toss right where Richie Incognito as the guard has to pull and then hit Vontaze Burfict as the middle linebacker and see what happens.
Yeah. And or like Antonio Brown has
and seeing like, you know.
Yeah. Or AB a crackback block on Burfict too.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Although I don't think AB I don't know how much blocking he actually does.
Probably very little.
He's good enough where he doesn't have to, you know?
Yeah, yeah. He let Hines Ward do all that for him.
Yeah, also notoriously very dirty player.
Yeah. He's available, you know? The Raiders need someone.
Yeah. He could still – I bet he could still play.
I think so.
Who's like a player who's kind of old, been out of the league for a few years that you think could probably still play?
I was going to say Ed Reed. I don't know why that came to mind. He's already in the Hall of Fame. Jeez.
I feel like Brett Favre could still play quarterback, actually.
Yeah, I think Vinny Testaverde.
Oh, man, Vinny. Vinny's a legend.
That's all he did is, like, he just, like, for the last –
he'd retire years, like, and then come back, you know, week four.
Yeah, no, he'd, like, be like, all right, I'm 40. But the Panthers need a starter for one game, so I'm coming out and throwing for 400 yards. And
I feel pretty good.
At the bench after that and collecting my check. So that's my answer. It's always going to be Vinny.
We should do an episode on, like, five old players.
George Blanda, maybe. I think he's dead, but he might be able to.
Bronco Nagurski.
Yeah. Jim Thorpe.
Yeah.
It can play a little fullback for you.
Fullback, man, that would be like that position makes sense in terms of a guy being able to come back to do it in that probably don't have to know a ton, just like
just
which side you gotta smash somebody, but physically could be pretty brutal pretty quick.
Yeah, no, it's like you can run all like – yeah, you get Jim Thorpe in there to play a little fullback, run for like five straight plays, but then you throw him a pass and like he breaks his ankles like trying to catch up to it. It's like never seen a ball fly that far, that fast.
You know who – I think Shannon Sharp could do it too.
Yeah, I think so. I think he could come in and like – I think he could put up like 300 yards, four touchdowns in a season.
I feel like he could be a good red zone tight end and also like still like a good block. Like, well, he was like the first, well, not the first, but one of the first real like receiving tight ends. He didn't block a lot, but he could come back and be a blocking tight end. I feel like that's the kind of shape he stays in.
Tony Gonzalez. Absolutely good.
Tight end's a good position for it, I think.
Yeah. We just saw Jason Witten do it, although we have no idea what he's going to look like.
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
Yeah. All it takes is one really, really shitty year on Monday Night Football to get your motivation to football back.
I'll go make $4 million for the Cowboys one more time.
I'll do it, yeah.
Then
come back and then probably broadcast again and make several more millions. after people forget how bad I was.
Yeah, exactly. Let's give him another shot.
That's called pulling a rabbit out of your head.
Out of your head ass.
Head ass old. Okay, so Richie Incognito on the Raiders. Surprised at all, really? No, I don't think so.
Not surprised that he's on the Raiders, but surprised that he was still being considered to fucking play in the NFL. Like we talked about in the video, it goes against everything the NFL just basically said that they were going to start taking seriously about mental health for players. I guess he's a good case study for having a mental health professional on the facility. I do think that
making him work overtime
for the Raiders. Whoever gets that job for the Raiders now has the hardest job in all sports between Brown, Perfect, and Incognito and John Gruden.
Presumably Gruden himself can't be like the most sane person in the organization.
I think like that's what Jay Gruden basically said this week. They asked him something about Dominique Rogers Cromartie retiring midseason, and he was like, "Yeah, well, John can do that to a person."
Yeah,
like. I don't know. I'm really starting to like Jay Gruden is what I'm saying.
I think we can all agree that he's the better Gruden.
He's had the zingers this week.
Yeah. He's been like, if I don't make the playoffs, I'm not going to have to worry about it.
Yeah, to come back on for Hard Knocks 2020. He said the Raiders should do it this year, and then Washington could do it the next year. But I probably won't be back if I don't make it to the playoffs, and I doubt Washington's going to make it to the playoffs.
Probably not.
But you never know.
Okay.
Wait, Jay Gruden's offensive guy, right? Offensive coordinator?
Yeah, he's the coordinator for the Bengals.
I feel like after this year, he's going to come back somewhere and like just be a really good offensive coordinator. And that's probably like what he maybe should be. I don't know.
Probably.
But who knows? Maybe he's just got that family name.
I don't know. I'd be willing to give him a chance somewhere that's not Washington, just knowing what a tire fire that whole – organization.
Oh, as like a head coach, you're saying?
Yeah. He's never been terrible, has he?
No, and I feel like he's made do with nothing over and over again. Whether that's the organization being terrible, or you look at last season when all of his quarterbacks just got terribly hurt.
Yeah. And they're on track to make the playoffs too before Alex Smith shark bit his leg off in the middle of a game.
Before he jumped the shark.
Yeah, really.
All right. Finally, we're going to get into your – Will is very excited to talk Game of Thrones because we couldn't talk about it for the last – since we started working together because Will didn't watch.
And it took me all of 3 weeks to watch the series.
Yeah. And Will and I are both very into television and movies, so it's been I don't want to say a rift in our relationship, but I've written a lot of Game of Thrones references and scripts, and Will couldn't bounce off ideas, and now we can.
It's basically a requirement for the job.
Yeah. But first, you're looking forward to this Warriors-Raptors basketball series, Will?
Yeah, I am looking forward to it. It's going to be tonight, probably yesterday, if you're listening to this, the day it gets posted.
No, I'll get this up today. I get this up on Thursday today.
Yeah, why not? Fuck it, tonight.
I can't post to my main channel, so what the fuck am I going to do?
Good point. Yeah, Warriors-Raptors, first question for you, Brandon. Are you going to watch?
Probably not.
Okay.
I'll probably check updates on Twitter. Maybe look at it come the fourth quarter if it's close.
All right, second question for you. Can you name two players on the Toronto Raptors?
Ooh, Kawhi Leonard.
Thought you'd get that one, yeah.
Nope, that's it. That's all I got.
Okay.
Give me some of their guys. I'll tell you if I know who they are.
All right, let's see. Kyle Lowry, a really big ass.
The name sounds kinda familiar. Short. Mike Lowry.
Kyle Lowry, yeah.
Yeah, Mike Lowry.
Danny Green. He was a part of the Kawhi Leonard trade. They gave him away for nothing. Mm. Mark Gasol.
Oh, I know Mark.
Yeah.
Powell's brother.
Right, yeah, good job. Mark with a C. Yeah, they traded for him midseason. Probably talked about it in that trade deadline episode.
Oh, yeah. He was with the Grizzlies before.
Correct. Yeah. Good job.
All right. Sports guy. I'm a sports guy.
Let's see. Fred VanVleet.
Nope. Never heard of that.
Okay.
Name. He's not a that.
Gonna shoot some three pointers. Shot 82% from three the last three games of that Bucks series. Really good.
Wow.
You know who, do that again.
You know who I thought was really good and basically changed the series for Portland was CJ McCollum.
Yeah, right? CJ McCollum.
McCollum, yeah. That dude, like, he was unstoppable at times.
Was, yeah, he was very good, especially in that, like, four overtime game. He's gotten into it with Skip Bayless a little bit, which is not the thing to do with Skip Bayless because he's the prime example of feeding the troll.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah, that's just move along with your life and don't give him any ammunition. Troy Aikman found that out the hard way.
What's your prediction for the series? How quickly do the Warriors win it?
I don't know. It's
you think Toronto's got a good chance here?
I do, yeah, because they're playing at home. So they've got the first two games in Canada. Toronto is a very hard place to win because they have a very good home crowd. Oracle Arena is also a very hard place to win. These are the last few games that they're ever going to play in that stadium.
Oh.
So there will be a raucous crowd, I'm sure.
They're getting a new arena, Golden State?
Yeah, yeah. So they play in Oakland right now. They play next to the Raiders.
Right.
But they're moving to actual San Francisco.
Oh.
University of San Francisco.
Cool.
So they got that opening up next year. They got a bunch of Silicon Valley douchebags wearing their jersey over their button-up shirts and khakis.
And their wads of money.
Yes. Yeah, and their Gavin Newsom haircuts.
Oh, nice. Nice reference.
So, right. So it is strange to me that most of America is going to be rooting for a Canadian team to beat an American team, which would not be the case in hockey, but I think everybody can unite in their hatred of the Warriors. And I think it's going to be a good series. I think Kawhi Leonard, especially with Kevin Durant out, and we don't know how long he's going to be out, but I think if Kawhi Leonard doesn't have to waste his defensive ability covering Kevin Durant the whole series, not that it's a waste, but if he can cover Steph Curry for most of the series and put Danny Green on Klay Thompson, that's a pretty good defensive one too against the Warriors.
Do you think if the Raptors win, Kawhi will stay in Toronto?
Yeah, probably. He said
just wants to win, right? Like he doesn't care about being popular or something.
No, he is the last person that cares about being popular.
I mean, I think I think it'd be cool if he stayed there. I don't have a problem with the Raptors. The very first NBA hat I ever bought was a Toronto Raptors hat.
Really?
It might still only be the only hat I own. I was just, you know, what's funny is I think like as a kid I had a thing for expansion teams because I have a Carolina Panthers hat. Got the Raptors. I wanted a Jaguars hat, but I never got one.
Just like yeah, hard to do that after their second year. Not very popular in those parts.
Yeah, and I thought at first they had like the Jaguar was like running. It was like a full body shot.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then they switched to the big face, and I was like, this sucks. I wanted the
it's cool.
I need to find my Raptors hat. I should start tweeting pictures like I'm a big Raptors fan.
Yeah. Change your screen name to fan since 97 or whatever.
Yeah. I think like I was like a kid. And I was like, oh, cool. They got a dinosaur as their logo. I'm in. Yep. Give me that hat. I used to wear a lot of hats as a kid.
Big time hat guy. That was the reverse.
So we're going to talk about Game of Thrones.
Right.
Anybody who doesn't give a shit or doesn't want to hear sports talk about it.
Please listen to me anyway.
Because honestly, after the finale and I heard a lot of the local Denver sports media talking about it, people I like listening to, people's opinions I like, I just fucking hated all of their takes about Game of Thrones. Hated it. And I hated listening to it. So I get it. I get it.
Right.
But before, so we're going to do our favorite names from the show.
Yeah, top five names, just purely on like how they sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like our favorite characters or anything. It's just coolest names.
What did you like? Okay. So I've been curious to see or to hear what your thoughts are, because you can't see a thought unless it's a cartoon. But as somebody who binged through it,
yeah,
already kind of knew some of the big spoilers.
I did, most of them,
which
yeah.
made like the show legendary.
Correct.
First of all, what was your impression of the show? But then how did you feel about like the last two seasons? Because they were a little bit different than everything leading up to it because of the magnitude of what they had to produce.
Right. Yeah. No, they're definitely in a tough spot because like everybody wants to demonize David Benioff and Dan Weiss. But we have to remember that they had probably the highest expectations of any show in history for the last two seasons.
Ever.
And they also ran out of source material to work with.
That makes
obviously,
it tricky.
Which makes it very tough. There just wasn't there wasn't a lot to go off of. There are fewer storylines the last couple seasons because everybody started to move together.
Yeah.
And so you're not switching back from character to character to characters, which makes it kind of harder to write. Because you have to spend more and more time in these, like, you go from like seven plot lines in an episode to like three, maybe.
Yeah.
Sometimes like two or one, depending on the episode.
It changes the pacing, really, of your show. And like, what
which
used
is like
to
a,
take,
a big, you know, that was like one of the most, you know, signature parts of the show. It's like how quickly and like how fast it like moved from, you know, this story arc to this one. And,
yeah, but also like how long it would take for a story to play out. So like
right, yeah.
Things that would be done in basically one episode the last two seasons were things that would transpire over like a half a season or a full season or like a season and a half.
Like, yeah, like Brienne of Tarth and Jaime Lannister going from one part of Westeros to the other is like two seasons.
Yeah.
Kind of
and
crazy.
Now it's like, oh, we need to do like we need to talk to Cersei in King's Landing, and it's like the next scene, everybody's in King's Landing.
Yeah, so I kind of put it into tiers with like, I think the first four seasons are pretty widely acclaimed as the best by far. I would even separate like the third. I know people like the fourth, but I think the first three were, you know, A1 as far as seasons go. Four was also very, very good. You have the Night's Watch battle at the end, and also Oberyn Martell.
Oh yeah, one of my favorites.
Trial by combat, one of the best scenes in television, really. And then yeah, five and six still pretty good.
Season five was probably like my least favorite because I felt like it was so dark. It was like,
it was very dark.
It was like, it was just like every week. It was just like not good things happen to characters you liked, and not like I can't remember. There wasn't like super shocking deaths or anything like the Red Wedding, but I was just like, ugh.
I mean, season five, you had, a little girl being burned at the stake.
Oh yeah. That was one of the things just like, oh,
right. Followed by, a main character getting stabbed like seven times.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So
you're right. Okay. Fair enough. But yeah, it was just super dark.
Very.
And I really liked season six because it kind of, you got the payoff for a lot of that shit
good.
Dealt with.
It was good. Season seven. I don't remember a lot about season seven. I don't remember most of what happened. I guess you get Euron Greyjoy coming into the fold. People didn't seem to like him very much.
That's you mean Bam Margera?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a bad character just because like you didn't get enough time to hate him. And from what I've heard, like in the books, he's like a super evil dude, like a like comparable to Ramsey Bolton type like level piece of shit.
Yeah, we got enough time to spend with Ramsey Bolton to like feel how evil he was.
That's what you needed. You needed time to really paint him as a bad guy. Season 7 is when, you know, Danny meets John and then they
take
the crew up at the end of it and fight some White Walkers and shit.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That was a good part of that season. The expedition to go capture a White Walker. Logically, don't know if that was a great idea by them, but considering
had to be done,
didn't convince anyone. But hey.
Hey. Whatever.
Nor did they end up needing her armies. So.
Nope. Just her going crazy on a dragon. Really. Really is all you needed.
Yep. So anyway, should we get into our top five names?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I'll let you start off with your number five.
My number five is Peter Littlefinger Baelish.
Yep.
Now, Littlefinger, because it is a reference to a small penis, never going to go unnoticed by me. But really... his name comes because he's from the Fingers, the Finger Island or Finger Peninsula. So, you know, Littlefinger is just a good nickname. It's a good nickname for a show. He was a great character. And as you mentioned, you thought he was American because of his performance on The Wire. My mind was blown when I saw him on The Wire with a Baltimore East Coast accent or whatever the fuck he had. I don't know if he was from, I forget, but that's my number five.
Yeah, no, good. And you know, yeah, kind of an unceremonious death as well.
Yeah.
Feel like he deserved a little bit more.
Yeah, like he deserved to be in prison for a season or like really have a rough go around or, you know.
Mm-hmm. Also, basically set the whole plot of the entire show into motion in the first season.
Yeah. No, he really did.
Yeah. All right, that's a good pick. I'm going to go five. I struggled with this one, but I got to go with Hot Pie.
Oh, Hot Pie.
His name basically says it all. His name is Hot Pie, and he makes pies that are warm sometimes, excessively warm, hot, some would say.
I think, like, I saw somebody on Twitter, like, about the last season asking, like, hey, whatever, but what happened to Hot Pie? And I know him and...
You see him again,
but like maybe he could have served some poison pies or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Hot pie. Okay, wait. Here's a question, though. If Arya doesn't meet Hot Pie, because presumably she learns like a thing or two about making pies with him, without that, is she able to make the Frey family pie and serve it to Walder Frey in season 6.
Good question. Very good question.
So maybe he's a little more important than people think.
Yeah, he probably is. I'm listening to the books. I'm still on the first book, but maybe there'll be some more Hot Pie info I can dish out to you.
Hopefully.
Pun intended.
Yeah, by the way, that I think between between Scott Tenorman in South Park and Walder Frey at the end of season 6 of Game of Thrones, just nothing in television like forcing a person to eat their own family.
Exactly. Good.
Without knowing it.
Good meme on Will's Twitter about that if you'd like to see it. All right, my number 4 character, best name is Bronn.
Good.
Just Bronn.
Yeah.
Like, I think
kind of describes what he is. He's brawny.
You think the brawny man, you think of a strong dude. Also, one of the best characters on the show, Bronn. And it's kind of like a name I would like to give my kid, hoping that he would grow to be big and strong, but knowing he's going to be like a small guy with a tough name and probably won't be able to live up to the expectations of his name. So I probably won't do that to my kid, but...
Brondon.
This is Brondon of House Suburbs.
I like it. He's another good character. Starts off as a sellsword and becomes one of the more important characters in the show. Becomes Lord of Highgarden.
That's right.
All right. I've got Beric Dondarrion.
Oh, yeah.
Or
very solid name.
Wears an eye patch, has come back from the dead 3 or 4 times.
Flaming sword.
It's strong, it's just a strong name because I feel like a lot of George R. R. Martin's, you know, process for naming characters is to take like a very normal name and then just like switch up one or two letters. Cause you hear Beric Dondarrion and you're like, his name should be Derek, like Dondarrion. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
It's very close to a real human American name. Just change one letter and it's perfectly Game of Thrones. So Beric Dondarrion.
Yeah. I think, yeah, no, you're right. And also, like, because Hodor was symbolic for holding the door, and Beric became symbolic for
barricading,
you know, dead people from killing Arya. Okay, so my Hodor third name.
One of the best twists ever.
What's that?
I said Hodor, definitely one of the greatest.
Yeah, that was twists. Crazy.
Yeah.
My third name is the High Sparrow.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, that character was one you fucking hated from the beginning.
Yep.
But the High Sparrow makes me think of a bird smoking a joint. So, I don't know.
Pretty good. You went back from, because he's a really good actor, and you went kind of back and forth between hating him and liking him because at one point he was torturing Cersei Lannister.
Right.
So like you're not really sure who to side with in that, which is probably what makes the show so good, is like you don't fully hate the bad guys, and you know.
Well, yeah.
Also some moral ambiguity to who was supposed to be the good guys.
No, it did a great job with that in terms of like season one, you're like, okay, this is the good guy, this is the bad guy. Then the best good guy fucking dies, and then like you change your opinions on characters just like you would like in real life about people. So that's like the best thing they did. Anyway, who's your number three?
I've got Davos Seaworth, Sir Davos Seaworth, aka the man without fingers. Started out as a smuggler from Fleabottom, and again, just became a very respected character, the advisor to the king by the end of the show. Had a really good relationship with Shireen, RIP. Made her a horse, which he later discovered, banished the Red Woman from the show for a while, which was disappointing to me because a big fan of Melisandre. But love Davos Seaworth.
Great name.
Constantly getting out of fighting by saying, like, look, dude, I don't have any fingers on one of my hands. What am I going to do?
Yeah, it's like, I'm terrible at fighting.
Yeah. It's like, but I do know a thing or two.
Yeah,
basically learns to read for a couple seasons, which is a good plot line.
Yeah. And he, like, he always had, like, the him, Tyrion, Bronn. They all had, like, the funny wisdom lines.
Yes.
Like smart things, but they said it in a kind of just like vulgar or profane way that I always found very funny.
Yep.
Okay, number two. Probably could have guessed this one. Gonna go with Brandon Stark, aka Bran Stark. Brandon the Broken.
Yep.
Which I relate to. But also, you got Brandon Stark, who was Ned Stark's brother. And then you have Brandon the Builder, who founded House Stark and also built the wall. So the lineage of Brandon's, the Bran is short for Brandon in the Stark family, I'm going to go with because I am an egomaniac. So
I like it.
And he wins. He wins the Game of Thrones.
He does, yeah. He doesn't really care, but at the same time everybody's fighting over, or not fighting over, but like deciding who's gonna, who's gonna rule. Meanwhile, like his uncle makes his case, which I don't really understand. In the series finale, like his uncle gets up, the guy who was imprisoned by Walder Frey for like 3 seasons, and he's like, "Here's why I'm qualified." And Sansa's like, "Sit down, old man."
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Sit down, you fool.
Don't know why that was necessary. But then Bran's just like, Tyrion's like, Bran, do you accept? He's like, why do you think I came here, bitch? Why do you think I wheeled my ass all the way over here?
Yeah.
Also, he's kind of a dickhead after he became the Three-Eyed Raven.
No, I know. He's like,
tells Mira Reed, like, see ya. I know you dragged me from north of the wall back to Winterfell, but I don't really need you anymore.
Yeah, and then, oh, hey, Sansa, good to see you again. You looked beautiful the night you were raped. Yeah. You looked really beautiful. Like, you fucking weirdo?
Yeah.
Fucking weirdo. All right, who's your number two?
I've got a man who has just a really, I think on both fronts, he's got like a great like given name and then a great nickname. But it's Sandor Clegane, aka the Hound.
Very good.
Yep. Just one of the best characters, like pound for pound on the show. Has an incredible arc. Kind of the reverse of it. I was thinking about this yesterday because so their characters, Arya Stark and the Hound, intersect for a couple seasons. And they're basically on opposite trajectories in that show because the Hound starts out as like the bloodthirsty guy at the beginning of the show, and he slowly becomes like a good man by the end of it, like an honorable man in a way.
Yeah, he fucking butchers a kid early on.
Right, yeah. Which gets him on Arya's list. But, and then Arya's like, they intersect, but Arya's going the opposite direction, and she starts out from a very innocent child to like a bloodthirsty, revenge-obsessed sword fighter.
Right. No, it's
I didn't really love about Arya. Like everybody on that show, I feel like the first four seasons of that show is like, do not seek revenge because you'll end up paying for it. Like Oberyn Martell.
Yeah.
Trying to think of, Robb Stark.
Well, yeah, if you're any Stark and you punish a guy by cutting off his head, you eventually die.
Right.
It happened to Ned, it happened to Rob, and it happened to Jon.
Yeah.
They all disciplined somebody by chopping off their head, and then they all got fucking murdered.
Yeah, and like Oberyn's whole story through season four is like he's trying to avenge his sister and her children, and George R. R. Martin's like, nope, revenge is a waste of time. Here's why. And you'll get your head caved in by a very strong man.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does with Arya in the books.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see. I have not read the books. I opened an illegal PDF over the weekend and started reading the first book and noticed that it was 750 pages. I was like, I might do this later.
Yeah, I'm listening to the audiobook.
That's probably the way to go.
It is. Also, every time like Arya and the Hound were on the screen, I would sing for their spinoff series where it's just Arya and the Hound.
Yeah.
And they had like a theme song. Yeah, it's like Arya and the Hound, 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 Hound. Either like a cartoon or a sitcom that you build on that song.
I like it.
Okay, number one.
Yeah.
Number one for me, and there's a chance we both have the same number one. We didn't know about this list prior, but I have to go with Tormund Giantsbane.
We do not have the same number one.
Okay,
good pick, though. I considered it for my list.
Tormund, probably my favorite character by the end of the show.
Figured.
Best comedically. You know, I'm always going to be won over with comedic timing, which...
The Where's the Big Woman line spawned so many great memes. Even, you know, it's only been like a week and a half, and I've seen that so many times. It's so perfect.
And then he gave us the backstory on how he got the nickname Giant, or the last name Giantsbane.
Yeah.
And it was about sucking milk from a giant teat.
Yep. That's how he got so strong.
So, yeah, a common theme here is the nicknames play kind of a role in our list for these characters.
Yep. A good pick.
All right, who's your number one?
So mine, I don't know how you're going to feel about it. It's just one of the coolest sounding names, I think, conceivable. And it's the One True King, the guy who probably had the most logical claim to the throne in the entire show, and that's Stannis Baratheon.
Stannis
Baratheon. Just think about it. It's like
Baratheon's strong.
It's so strong. Baratheon by itself is such a great surname, and then Stannis. It's like it could be Stan. It could be Stanley, but it's made much stronger by being Stannis, the Manus. A great ruler, a great leader of men. Probably falls victim a little bit too much to the Red Woman's advice, especially later on in the show.
He got a little too religiously devout.
Yeah.
Conservative, if you will.
Father's a ghost that kills his brother, which was
a smoke baby. A
bold move. Yeah. You know, allows his daughter to be burned at the stake. Not really, doesn't really like, I don't know. It doesn't take it too hard when his wife hangs herself. After the burning of their daughter. And then when he's defeated by Ramsay Bolton, basically just lets Brienne take his head off. It's like, yeah, it's your duty. You got to do it. It is pretty incredible, though, that they pay off like a murder that happened in season 2 at the end of season 5.
That is true. Sorry, I stopped paying attention because old videos that has been taken down by YouTube. I've got a tab of all my links up. It just started playing.
Oh, boy.
So I heard it in my earphones.
This is good news. Hopefully.
But I agree. Stannis Baratheon, strong name.
Yeah. Honorable mention to Joffrey Baratheon, who's really Joffrey Lannister.
Yeah.
But my favorite, I think, pound for pound, my favorite character in the show is Joffrey. Yeah.
Oh, he was a great villain. He was a great first villain to really have. Yeah.
And he's from Cork, Ireland, where I lived for a little bit. And the actor himself is just a very cool guy. Like, if you listen to him interviewed, he couldn't be more different than Joffrey. And he gave up screen acting, too, which is kind of a bummer, but I understand.
Yeah, I wish I had that option.
Yeah.
Not gonna do this shit anymore. Made my money.
Just gonna get a master's degree.
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, we did it. We talked about Game of Thrones together, Will.
We sure did.
The last 20 minutes of this podcast were just for you and me, basically.
I don't know. I think some people like it.
So if anybody listened to all the Game of Thrones shit, please let us know.
And please don't comment like this is a football show, because there's nothing going on this week.
Nothing important.
Without the Game of Thrones part of this episode, it just would have been 20 minutes shorter.
You want us to talk about Terrell Pryor signing with the Jaguars?
I didn't even know that, so.
Yeah, I saw it today on Twitter.
Great.
Can't even think about making a video because I don't have a place to put it.
Nope.
Except for this second YouTube channel, which I may start doing. Anyway, thanks for listening. We love you, and goodbye.